Hello and welcome to this week's edition of The Forgecast. Nelekin.
Lovecore.
And today we are joined by...
Meridan.
Mark.
You're such a scrub. Yeah. No imagination.
So, this time, it's been actually a while since we've casted last. February was a really busy month for all of us, so we really haven't had a chance to put many casts down. We're back on track now, and we're actually going to pound out quite a few today, or so our goal is. And in this cast, we actually want to talk about competitive versus casual gaming in this game. We've got Nelekin and I are coming from a competitive background, and Marcus and Meriden are coming from a more of a standard casual background. So this is going to be a good way for us to take in a bunch of takes on what we think, you know, different viewpoints on casual versus competitive gaming, especially including, you know, the impact it's going to have on this game. So my first concern is that I'm actually really concerned that Stoneblade isn't going to take it to the next level and make it a seriously competitive game. I really hope that we see them do it, and you know, I've said it in the cast before, but it's still, I guess, too early to tell. But from what we gathered from some of the information they've had, and they said they weren't going to be doing any huge tournaments or anything like that, that may change. I hope it does, and I hope it's something we get to see more of. In terms of casual games, casual players, what is it that a casual player is out to see? You know, is it just a game that you play just to kill 5 minutes on the bus or on the way to work or you're sitting on the toilet? Like, what is it from a casual... Yeah, I don't know, same page, man.
I know, right?
Statistics show that
I didn't know if you were going to go there. I wasn't sure if you should go there, but...
Well, statistics show that most people play with their phone more in the bathroom than they do at any other point during the day. So it only makes sense that,
like,
you know, 80%. You're dropping deuces and shooting birds.
Playing Sudoku, whatever.
Whatever,
and
we know.
Yeah,
whatever.
I don't see myself really playing this on the toilet so much that I think even for a casual player, maybe I will
once
get
it comes
in around.
To the phone, though, yeah.
But at the same time, I still foresee myself playing this primarily in a more traditional gaming setting, sitting at my desk
or
in my room, you know, more comfortably, probably more likely on my couch.
Yeah, that's exactly how I perceive myself playing it. Is
maybe out back on a nice day.
On a nice day, I'm playing on my tablet or, you know, in terms of tournaments and that type of stuff that we will hopefully be hosting and be able to do ourselves. Hopefully Stoneblade's listening to us enough to make private rooms and tournaments and the stuff.
And the way see it, these guys are all Magic the Gathering players, they're all tournament players. They all recognize the value of the competitive aspect of a TCG.
Right.
I say all, most. And then the other guys have got to be influenced by it. Like, these guys cannot possibly not know that they need a healthy competitive environment to really reach critical success on this game. At the same time, especially with the free-to-play model, the casual market is going to be very important, bringing people in, getting them playing the game before spending money on it, and then kind of converting those casual players into competitive players through that process, and by offering an easy path into competitive play. You don't, you know, if they make it so you don't have to go to LANs, you don't have to do this kind of archaic, old, you know, meet up with all the guys with your PCs in this one room and do this tournament, if they can facilitate that in a way that a casual player can kind of jump into a rookie tournament. I think skill
those
guys
were good
are
air quotes,
be,
by the way.
That works on the podcast really well. They have to be able to cater to both audiences.
Yes,
and I can't foresee them leaving either one of them out based on their previous experience. Right. Now that being said, if you listen to the Q&A, you listen to the kind of things they've been saying lately, they are talking to casual players, and that is slightly concerning to somebody who wants to take this game
seriously, right?
But at this point, I think it's just their priority. I cannot in any way imagine them leaving out the competitive community when they are from.
Right, and I'm not. I don't really remember. Was the Kickstarter campaign, was it advertised as competitive DCG? Is that how it was? I don't really remember.
I don't know.
Can we pull it off? Is that something we can?
Yeah, I mean, when it was introduced to me, that's kind of the impression that I had got, but that was word of mouth. You know, I hadn't been reading the Kickstarter. I had somebody come to me and say,
hey,
you know, you got to check out this game. These guys they're creating a digital card game, but it's actually going to be serious. It's going to be competitive. It's going to be built in such a way that you can play it competitively. And I think that's what it was. It wasn't necessarily that they had a focus on enabling competitive play as much as they wanted to build a game that could be played competitively. That wasn't right. totally broken, that wasn't going to have these one-card drops, that wasn't going to have games over in two or three turns. And in my experience so far, I think that they've done that. I think if, as long as they build a game that fosters competitive play through its game mechanics, that even if they drop the ball, the right. community won't. The community is already playing. They're in their fourth forum tournament.
Yep.
Like, there's already competitive tournaments happening right now. The game doesn't even exist. So.
Hopefully they'll take note of that and, hopefully we will have the option to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's their forums, and that's the majority of the traffic on their forums right now. Is people playing games.
Most of the other forums are actually kind of slow. Did we come up with anything?
No, they don't actually mention specifically that it would be
a competitive. Gotcha. Okay. So, based on their thoughts alone, I would, like we've said, I would hate to see it not be as big as it has the potential to be. This really is going to be the first card game on the digital platform to be really worldwide accessible, cross-platform. There are other games out there, but, the next closest card game that's being taken seriously was Shadow Era. Shadow Era is another digital card game. Pretty much cost you $5 to get into it, and you can get everything you want. You can play for free, too. And that's cross-platform, PC, iOS, and Android. This is really going to be the first game with a huge backing that will have the potential to be all over the place. And I hope, as a competitive player, we see Gary Games take note of that and really give us all the options all of us, both casual and serious players alike, are looking for.
Yeah, I think they're both going to be important to their bottom line. I think the Kickstarter showed that there is a lot of interest already. And the forums right now, the people that seem to be most interested in it so far tend to be those with the competitive point of view that want to play competitively.
So it would seem as the forums are filled with people based on the forums, right.
But there's more people than were just on the forums donating. Based on the numbers that they got through the Kickstarter, there's a lot of people who are like, yeah, I want to see this. I'll throw $10, but I don't really want to get involved. I just think it looks like a fun game. I think there's probably a lot more casual supporters than are visible because they're just not communicating at this point. They're waiting for the game.
Right. And I know actually a lot of backers who will back projects and forget they're still going. I'm not going to say that's not the situation here, but that happens. I agree.
The game, like I said, as long as they provide the opportunity for kind of creating these matches and in a secure way, I guess what would you need for a home run tournament?
The ability to make custom games. That's all we're asking for. And that's something we addressed.
The results, maybe, publicly.
Right. Yep.
Just so that we could, verify who verification, won and everything like that.
And that's another thing, screenshotting the win, that type of stuff.
It would be really nice is custom rules. I mean, there's going to be different sets of tournament rules, especially once there's more sets of cards.
I would love.
For example, right now the online tournaments have those two banned cards. It's Grimgaunt and Zymus.
Yep.
And so the ability to make those sort of restrictions, I think, would be important.
I agree. And that is something that, we've touched on in the past, I think is kind of difficult for to be integrated into a mobile game. I feel like on a desktop it's a little bit different. You have a bunch of options. You have more screen retail. You've got more space to utilize in terms of making all these awesome functions of the game. Creating a game on a tablet with these things can be difficult. I mean, granted, it's not something you can't do with drop downs or whatever, but it's just another aspect of the game that needs to be there. Just like, how long it took Riot to get ARAM going? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
ARAM
queue is still soon.
It's still soon, exactly. It took, God, nobody wanted it. What was the other format they released? Domination, was that? I can't remember.
Yeah,
Dominion. Nobody wanted Dominion. They did it anyway.
Yeah.
And they seem to be able to do that in a fairly productive amount of time. So I think that it's more of, we're going to see things from Stoneblade, but I think we're going to see more of them on their agenda as opposed to seeing them on the community's agenda. And I hope, again, I hope I'm wrong, and I hope that they, you know, take heed to what we're saying, and they're actually out there listening to this, but...
I think their primary focus is going to end up being the casual community, and that's just a function of numbers, that they want to bring in as many people as possible.
And
the model of a freemium game is based on...
Casual, large numbers.
Audience.
Right.
Well, it's with technology.
And then...
Nowadays with the phones.
You make a good game, and then they're going to convert. Like, you got to bring them in first.
First, right.
And so I think their initial focus is going to be on trying to bring in as many people as possible.
Which I would definitely agree with. That makes plenty of sense.
But, yeah, I'm with you in that. Even coming from a casual point of view, I want to see a competitive ecosystem for this game because I think it's going to drive development of the game. I think it's going to drive the balance of the game. That it will be... something that really gets paid attention to, mm-hmm. whether these cards are balanced, whether these decks are balanced. If it's just casual player, you know,
it's
nobody's going
to
really care.
Right.
It's like, oh, well, nobody's really making too big of a stink. But if there's really serious tournaments going on and the same three cards are in the decks that are winning, you know, every tournament, it's going to say, all right, we have to address this.
Yes.
The same way that Riot is addressing champs based on, you know, success mm-hmm. at tournaments.
At tournaments, yeah.
Because of the competitive scene, they're seeing where... they've kind of fallen down in the balance area,
right.
and it gets more attention because of that. Now, I'm casual, sure, but I value balance.
Yes.
Very highly. And so anything that is going to drive towards more balance is something mm-hmm. that I want to see.
Right, and, you know, balance also plays a role in the price of a card. That's not something we see in terms of Riot, you know, in League of Legends. We don't see that. We you know, every champion is... 6,300 or whatever when it launches.
They changed it to be higher the first week now. It's
oh,
like
wow.
7,350 for a week and then it drops down.
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha.
I noticed that.
So even worse. You know, that's not a situation, that's not something that you see in Soulforge. Cards are going to be valued at different prices based on, air quotes, their balance, how, you know, their popularity, how busted their playability, exactly. So balance is something that is taken into account for casual and competitive alike.
Yeah, and I suppose you'd probably see the same thing in a game like League if there was an internal market, that if the community had a chance to kind of stabilize prices themselves.
Right.
But yeah, I think there's very competitive champs at very low tiers and the opposite. And I don't, you know, I think it makes more sense that...
Well, they mentioned that they want cards that are good at common level.
Yes, yes, they have.
The way Magic is and the way WoW sort of isn't.
WoW sort of isn't.
Like, I'm not saying all cards for WoW, but...
No, I agree. And, you know, that's another thing that card balance and card creation and design is...
Scratch that. Murlocs. Murlocs is all commons and uncommons. That deck is awesome.
You know, card balance is something that you have to... You have to think about a casual player's perspective and a competitive player perspective. If you make too many cards casually oriented, you're not going to maintain people playing. You know, you have too many cards that are powerhouse cards and just run people over, casual people aren't going to want to play.
That are hard to get.
Because, right, exactly. It can't be exactly a difficult...
Everybody wants those powerhouse cards.
Everybody wants powerhouse cards. It's just their means to getting them.
There's also a sense of progression aspect that somebody who comes into this game, does not spend any money on it, is going to start out with some very basic cards. And they may want to feel something that, you know, will draw me into a game very often is this feel of being stronger as I play more.
Right.
That it drives me to play more psychologically as well. And so, you know, they definitely need those stronger cards. They need something for new players to...
To latch on to get to,
you know,
exactly.
If everybody got a full set to begin with, then the casual scene would be dead.
Would be dead, right.
It would go straight to competitive, and people would be, you know, playing their pre-built decks, and everybody would be playing the same, you know, and the casual scene is dependent upon, and again, hopefully this will be the last League comparison I make for the next 4 or 5 minutes, but when you get new games, everybody's got all these crazy wild champs, because that's what they have access
right.
to. And when you look at competitive play, it's the same champs over and over again. But you look at a level 5 League game, and it could be anything. Literally anything.
Yeah.
This is the best games, though.
And, yeah, I think those games are really fun, and I think those games are really fun for people who are new to the game. I think those games aren't that fun for people who are competitive because they understand how they could be stronger. But for somebody approaching it new, they both want to have an experience, feel like they can contribute, they can play, but still they have something to reach for. You know what I mean? And in this case, yeah, it'd be getting new cards. And I think that also drives Stoneblade profitability in that the people who aren't patient enough to get the stronger cards, that's going to be their motivation to drop money. I don't think you're going to have quite as much cosmetic style upgrades. I don't think people are going to spend that much.
So you don't feel that on cards, you don't feel like you're going to get people to spend more?
I mean, it's anecdotal, but I wouldn't. I couldn't see myself spending money on skins either. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt.
So say you've got...
You're a rare person.
You are not the average gamer.
Like, I don't like foils, but that has more to do with a maintenance thing. I don't want to have to deal with them.
But now that you don't have to deal with them.
But now with these anime cards, I mean, did you see that dragon? That thing is amazing.
I agree. I did see it, and I think it's a neat idea, and I think it's going to make a lot of people very happy. It's something I have no interest in. I never cared about what the cards looked like in the first place. They could all been blank white cards with text on them. And I hope that I am alone in that, because cosmetic upgrades is a huge market for a freemium game. I think it's going to be important for them to have some people going after that, but I think it's also going to be important for them to push the stronger cards for purchase. That somebody like me, I am much more likely to spend money on a card to improve my current deck than spend money on art to make my current deck look cooler.
Well, that's true. One thing that
I'm not going to beat anybody with that.
With
cool. No, but if I already have a Scorch Mane, I'm going to play it.
Right.
Know? Don't get me wrong. But if I have the great art, it doesn't make my deck stronger. And that's going to be my goal, is making myself stronger and more competitive. Even from a casual, you know, with other casual people. I'm not looking to compete with Kibler and you know, trade with them in the highest levels of Soulforge play. But it's still going to be my goal to get better, to get stronger. Yeah, if it comes to the point where I spend money on the game, in game, it's going to be for that first. It's only going to be once I have some decks built up,
right?
And that was the same thing with League. Once I had some champs built up, once I have stuff that'll fit in every role, once I'm satisfied with my pool and I've got some good choices, then I'm looking at the cosmetic stuff. Then I want to stand out.
Right. See, I hope that we don't see them do pay for cosmetics. I hope that all foil cards are either gotten through buying packs. Mm-hmm. Or won through tournaments. I hope we don't see them in any other way.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even consider that. That would be horrible.
Yeah. You know, or even playing through the single player or the campaign mode.
That would be
cool. You get rewarded with special campaign cards animated cards from the campaign, just random, whatever. I hope that we don't see them offering for $5 you can have foil animated Call of the Weeks. I hope that's something we can avoid altogether, but... You know, when all is said and done, I don't think they're here just to make a game. I think they're here to make a profit.
Now, do you envision a player market?
Yes.
And so, in that player market, you'd be able to sell cards, but not...
Right.
What happens if you had a card that was a foily or an animated or mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it that you want to sell? Does it lose that animation? Or,
no.
You know...
You that animation stays with it. You know, it's just... You know, it's another physical card, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, so
at that point, they still have access to being able to buy it. They would have to buy it with the card.
Right.
I see that. And, yeah, you've got, you know, the booster packs is really, I think that's where
the fun of a TCG comes from. Yeah. Everybody knows that.
That's cool.
Exactly. You're always ripping packs, burning packs. So.
Yeah, I think it's going to be important to try to hold on to some of that.
Because back when we used to play. You'd buy a box a week, and that was the mm-hmm. funnest part, was to see what cards you got when you opened packs.
Yep.
Or either that to do a
draft. The best part about sealing.
Draft. Yeah. Yep. That's where the fun is. So I hope that they don't forget that, and they, you know, I hope they keep that in mind, that we want foils, we don't want to pay for foils. If I want to pay for foil, I want to play in sweat and blood and tournament tokens. So.
Fair enough. Yeah, and I like the idea of cosmetics being used as sort of a status indicator, that, you know, it's kind of a mark. Like, I have this card, it means I completed this. I accomplished this.
Right, yeah.
You know, and it's not exactly an achievement, you know, like the same way you see an achievement. That's third air quotes.
I know, we're all over them.
And, but yeah, if I'm playing against a random and I throw down my, you know, tournament Scorch Mane,
right.
They're like, oh wow, he must have won a tournament at this stage done this X thing.
And you know, it's also part of the mental game. You sit down with somebody, and you know,
and they have an all animated deck.
They're a whole deck. It's, like, it's mental game. You're getting in your opponent's psyche, and that's part of playing a card game. It's always been playing your opponent has always been part of the game, regardless of what game you're playing. So
ever since three card poker in the Dark Ages,
it's always play your opponent. So it's it's just another cool factor that I'm excited in. And that animated card preview they did show in the last update was pretty sweet, I gotta say.
I would have liked to see it actually in the frame of
the frame of the card. I'll go home and Photoshop.
I understand I'm a little weird, but the aspect ratio is wrong. And that
the aspect ratio is wrong.
I noticed that. I'm like, I wonder how they're going to cut it, how they're going to stretch it. Now, a card in-game shows in a couple different ways, where the art is sometimes different aspect ratios.
Right. Well, here's how I envisioned it. Is I envisioned that you have the art for the card and some crazy ratio, then you have the card. So when you play something, if your card shakes, you're getting different scenes of the art.
Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. Like, it's like a window.
Like a window, exactly. So no matter what angle you look at from it, you know, if you're playing something that does damage or shakes the board or moves the card, you see a little bit more of that art because it's actually just behind it, and that card is literally just the window to Soulforge.
Yeah, I'd like to see more interface kind of interaction that really took advantage of the switch to digital. Yeah. Like, in their mind, this is still a card game. And it is a card game, but it's going to limit you if you keep thinking about it as just a card game.
Right, exactly.
You know, and especially in the interface design. I mean, little things like that. That's subtle. That doesn't change the gameplay.
Right.
But it would look so cool. It would give it that extra little touch. And I'd like to see them, focus in that area more. These things that we can do because this is digital.
Right.
I think the animated cards, huge step directly in that direction. I'm a big fan of that. But I'm wondering if we could see more. Just little ways. You know, nothing specific, just a little bit of polish. That being said, for being a beta that was meant as a tech demo, I think it's already very playable, very, to me, it seems very accessible. I'm able to look at cards, I'm able to play cards, everything seems natural and somewhat intuitive.
Right.
For the most part.
What other aspects that I want to talk about here in casual versus competitive? Would you like to see casual tournaments? You know, everybody in the game has a rating. If your rating is sub 1500, you are considered a casual player. Would you participate in a casual tournament if you were sub 1500 and you knew everybody else was as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I would, as a beginner myself. Because it's just, like you said, playing a mental game. It's trying to learn the game. If you go straight in against somebody that you know is just going to win, why bother?
Why? Right.
Yeah, and there's a misconception that the casual player doesn't want to play randomly. It's not like playing GTA casually when you drive down the sidewalk and jump off of buildings and stuff. It's like, I'm never going to approach this game in that way as, I'm just messing around. I just understand that the amount of time that I'm going to put in and the understanding of the game I'm going to have, I won't be able to compete with those at the top tier.
Right.
But I still would want to play against people that I felt were around my skill level.
Right.
And so, yeah, if, you know, I would hope to see matchmaking that took that into account, but I would really love it. And to be honest, I'm not entirely optimistic about that, but I would love to see a tournament like that was bracketed for skill level ranges.
Right.
And I think you could adjust kind of entry fees and prizes accordingly, too, that it would be that it wouldn't be expensive to get into, but that there was still the idea of a prize. I think
right.
A possible prize. Something small, booster pack or two or something.
Animated card, maybe?
But
foil lands?
Oh, yeah. Like, I would love that. And if it were in an environment where I felt like I was playing against people that were somewhat close to me, that
you're more apt
that's
to
my
again.
Biggest barrier to playing this game seriously.
It's the biggest barrier for, I think, anybody who goes from a casual jump to want to taking a more serious job. I think that's the main define. Nobody wants to go to a tournament and get their shit packed in. Mm-hmm. Nobody.
I've played one Magic the Gathering tournament in my life.
Yeah, nobody wants... So I feel like if you were to take a group of people playing at the same rating, you know, granted you run into a problem with Smurf accounts and Twink accounts, whatever, but that's something that can be tackled and addressed later. I think that's an awesome way to get more casual, you know, get more casual people to where they need to be.
Yeah, and I'd like to see, like, a new player tournament. This is really common on a poker site. When you sign up for a new account, you get a submission ticket to get into a tournament that's designed for people who are new.
Right.
You know, and so maybe when you sign up for a new SoulForge account, you get a ticket that lets you play in.
And that's something we spoke about in one of our previous podcasts, is tournament tokens and, you know, that type of thing. And that's something I would like to see.
Yeah, I like the way that, Magic the Gathering Online handles it, in that you have this kind of currency for getting into tournaments.
Yes.
And I think it'd be really neat to find ways to pick up that currency without spending money.
Right.
That, at least for a tournament or two. I think this new player tournament would be a good way to do that. But, like I said, a lot of casual players are not as we're not Farmville players.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, give us the opportunity and the right opponents, and we'll play some serious games. You know, and this game is a strategy game. It's not a point and click, you know, mess around and for 10 minutes and have no idea what you're doing, and, you know, like...
Pretty much what I did when I started today.
Yeah.
Well, everybody's got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, by introducing them to the excitement of playing into a tournament, a lot of people coming from that point of view have never played.
Never played, right.
And certainly I don't have a lot of experience. I've got enough to know that I really enjoy it, the idea of it, just that the tournaments that I can find, and, you know, for the longest time it was your local tournaments. I walk into a tournament at States, or whatever States is called these days, or
play the game,
the local card shop.
Yeah,
anyway, it'll always be States.
I would get laughed out of there, you know,
at
the end of the first round. And that is, it's a very negative experience, but even the perception of the possibility of that experience generates an anxiety. And it's probably the primary reason that I don't play more in-person games, is because of that curve and because of the social stigma. Now, I think SoulForge has an interesting approach in that you don't have to go somewhere. You don't have to be around a bunch of people that are going to watch you play. You can participate in a tournament from your home.
Yeah, you can only be nagged by your opponent.
Yeah. And even then, the game's over. They're not necessarily hunting you down and giving you a hard time. And if you lose and you go home, you know, not everybody's sitting in that room watched you.
Right, so you don't have losing anxiety.
Just get beat 0-20 in turn 3 trying to play your old deck. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's important to get people engaged in that way. I think that's going to show a lot of people why competitive players are competitive players. And I'd really like to see this a healthy, vibrant middle ground. This place where I'm not a casual, but I'm not going to Worlds.
Right.
I want to play with mid-range players. Right. And being able to do that and match people up, if they do a good job with the matchmaking, I think it's going to draw a lot of people in who maybe wouldn't have taken it as seriously. Pay more attention, to start reading a couple blogs, or start looking at a couple decks, or, you know, just kind of start this transformation, and start pushing towards being a little more serious about it. And, of course, there will be the people who are always going to want to be competitive, that they're never going to want to take it seriously, they're never going to want to spend money on it.
Right.
And you still want that person to play.
You still,
because
right, exactly.
That person's going to tell their friends, that person is going to be playing it on the bus, that person is... Maybe one day they're going to change their mind. Maybe they're going to realize, this is an amazing game. I want to keep playing this. I want to play this more seriously.
Yep.
Here's $10 for my SoulForge box.
Yeah. Or whatever it may be.
I hope they don't call it SoulForge box. No,
we were trying to GG coin of what we were calling it until Gary Games changed their name. So, we were not exactly sure. Stoneblade Dollar Bills. Yeah, so I think that wraps it up for this podcast. Appreciate you guys listening. Again, any feedback, swing over to the site. And let us know what you think. If you want to jump on this cast with us, say hey. We wanna cast with you guys. But until then, I'm Lovecore.
I'm Meriden.
Nelikin.
Marcus.
And we are out of here, guys.